John chapter 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5, John chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. The Gospel of John, the Gospel according to John, chapter 5, and beginning our reading at verse number 1, where it says, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." You always go up to Jerusalem. You never go down to Jerusalem. And one of these days, we're going to the new Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
There's going to be a city coming down. We're going to go up, and then we're going to come down. Isn't that good? Man, I like that. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches, and these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now verse number 5, "And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. The scene that lies before us this morning is a hopeless scene. It is a lamentable scene. There at the pool of Bethesda, near the sheep market, which is near the sheep gate, there are people who are in need. There are people who are hurting, a great multitude of crippled and paralyzed folk. And it is here at the pool of Bethesda that Jesus comes. He comes to that pool. And dear friends, where Jesus walked was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He came there on purpose, amen?
Amen.
He came there to bring the word. He came there to touch. But not with his hands, strictly by his word. In verse 1, we see that after this there was a feast of the Jews. We don't know what feast that was. Some say Passover, some say Pentecost. We don't know. We're not sure about when that is. But it's after the healing of the nobleman's son. We know that. And you can speculate about what feast, but that's not the important thing here. The message is not about the feast, it's about the Savior. It's about what Jesus did and does. Verse number 2, "Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool." And the sheep market and the sheep gate are right close to each other. You go through the sheep gate, you're at the sheep market. "Which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches." How many of you ever heard of Bethesda Naval Hospital? Amen? Bethesda. Bethesda. Here is this pool that is there. And we see here that Jesus comes to this pool. And it's nearby the sheep market, and we can say nearby the sheep gate, since they are right there together. And I'm thinking about this sheep gate this morning. This gate is a gate of sacrifice. It is the same gate that Nehemiah spoke of in Nehemiah 3 and verse 1, then Eliashib. Chapter 3, verse 1, "Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests. They builded the sheep gate and sanctified it and set up the doors of it even unto the tower of Mia." They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. This gate is still there in the old city of Jerusalem. It is the gate of sacrifice. This is where the lamb would come in. This is where the lambs for sacrifice would come in. Do you know where they raised the lambs for sacrifice? And you know something? They still have sheep market. And the Bedouins come and trade their sheep market. But in the day of the Lord Jesus, sheep were raised. Listen, sheep were born and raised in Bethlehem to come to Jerusalem to be sacrificed. Jesus was born where? Bethlehem. Do you know where I believe he was born? I believe he was born in the shepherd's field area. He was laid in a manger. So there were animals. And I believe in keeping with the type that he was born in that area, there where sheep were raised. And those sheep were raised to be brought by the shepherds through the sheep gate to the sheep market for sacrifice. Jesus was born to die. He came to this earth that he might die for his people. The sheep gate is the gate of sacrifice. And when Jesus walked through that sheep gate to the sheep market, he was a walking parable. Amen. I can remember and hear the words of John the Baptist. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus came as a sacrificial lamb by whose blood we're redeemed. The Bible says in 1 Peter that we're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And those priests would take and they would check each one of those lambs that would be sacrificed. And they'd reject some. They would reject some because they weren't what they ought to be. But oh, dear friend, Jesus is the lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, near the gate is that pool, Bethesda. The pool of Bethesda. Bethesda means house of mercy. That's what the Bethesda Hospital means. It's a place of mercy. It's a place where people can be helped. And here we have this pool near the sheep gate. And it is through the Lord Jesus Christ that you can have mercy this morning.
Amen.
The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. What is mercy? It is not getting what you deserve. It is not getting what you deserve. Listen to me. You deserve hell. You deserve to burn for eternity. I deserve that. But because of his mercy, I'm not going.
Amen.
Because of his mercy, because of the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And, dear friend, that mercy is available to all who believe. It has five porches. What do the five porches speak of? Five is the number of grace. So we have mercy and we have grace. Jesus comes to the pool. And here we find him there where the five porches are. The sinner must be saved by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. My oldest daughter, her name is Karis. That's her name. I took her name from Ephesians 2:8. For by Karis are you saved. Her name's really Grace. But it's the Greek word, Karis. Chi Alpha Rho Iota Sigma. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not, listen close, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Brother Doug taught in our adult class about the names of the Lord. And he talked about Redeemer. Redeemer. What does it mean to be redeemed? The word there is agorazo, ex agorazo, which means to buy out of the market. To buy out of the market. We were slated for slaughter, but he bought us out of the market.
Amen.
He bought us out of the market. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, how good our Lord is to us. Now, I want us to note something, all right? We've got the five porches. They speak of grace. Around the pool of Bethesda, that speaks of mercy. Near the sheep gate, which speaks of sacrifice. We're getting the gospel message here, amen? About Christ who came to die, was buried, and rose again the third day. Verse number 3 of John chapter 5, if you'll notice it with me, where it says here, in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, this verse pictures mankind. This verse pictures the spiritual state of a lost world. First of all, impotent. It means without strength. Sinful man has no strength to save himself. You have no strength to save yourself. You must trust Christ and Him alone. He is the strong one. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we had no strength, Christ died for our sins. Oh, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Amen. And then we find the blind here. They're unable to see. Unable to see what? They're unable to see the peril of the danger ahead. They're in darkness. They can't see the Savior. They can't see the peril. They're headed off into hell. They're headed out in the darkness. What a terrible thing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:4 that the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded their minds, blinded their eyes. They can't see. But then we find that the light of the gospel has shined unto the believer. And just as in creation where God said, let there be light, He said, let there be light, and I saw the truth. I love to preach the gospel. I love to tell folks, and I do it over and over and over on those ships, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried and how that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. They need to hear that. These spiritually blind, they can't walk the narrow way. Some of y'all walked up that mountain at camp at night. Some of you wish you hadn't. But you did it. But you had flashlights, didn't you? Had light to go. How hard would it have been if you would not have had any light whatsoever and no moon and a dark light, night? I'll tell you what would have happened to this crew. They'd have stumbled and fell. Amen. Am I right?
That's right.
But oh, the light has shone to the believer. They might see and not walk in darkness. And then it talks about the halt. This means the lame, the crippled, those unable to walk. They can't walk. It's not that they're walking in darkness. It's that they're in darkness and they can't walk. They're crippled. Spiritually is what the application is here. Then withered. This means they're shrunk and wasted. The lost man cannot perform any good works to get him to heaven. He's withered. And another definition of this means without natural juices. I mean, he just dried up. Dried up, deprived of natural juices. And this pictures total depravity. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. And they're waiting for the moving of the water. That's what it says there in John chapter 5. They're waiting for the moving of the water. You know, there are a lot of folks today waiting for the troubling of the water. And a lot of them are trusting in water. They think, well, if I go down there and the water's troubled, I'll be saved. No, no, no. Baptism comes after regeneration. Am I right?
Amen.
The Bible teaches us that we must be saved and then we are proper candidates for baptism. Amen. I was talking to somebody one time and they were saying, well, I believe that baptism washes away your sins. And they happened to be, they had come to Elliot and were there, and we had had a baptism on profession of faith. Somebody who trusts the Lord. And we were letting the water out. And the water from the baptistry runs out on the back parking lot. Just runs out on the parking lot and disperses. And that fellow was with me and he started to walk across. I said, no, don't walk on that water. He said, what's wrong with you? I said, it's full of sin.
Right.
Full of sin.
Amen.
You're gonna get sin all over you. Isn't that silly that water would wash away sin?
Amen.
Oh, there's power in the blood, not power in the tub.
Amen.
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 They that gladly received his word were baptized. But there are those who believe in that. And then there are those who believe in if they take the Lord's Supper every week. Some of those are one and the same. And they believe they have to take it and take it and take it if they don't do it. You know what that is? That's close to Catholicism. And they believe that. They have to have that to keep saved. I'll tell you what, I've got a great Savior. He's the keeper of the stars. He's the keeper of my soul.
Amen.
Amen. He keeps me. He keeps me. How marvelous and wonderful that is. And then verse number 4, John chapter 5, verse 4 says this, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Whatever disease he had. Now, we notice in this, of course, there's an impotent, great group laying around there. And then this angel comes by and he troubles the water in verse number 4. And the verse pictures the inability of man to save himself. How can a person without power, an impotent man, get into the pool? How can he do it? Well, he can't. Man is hopeless.
Amen.
Unless who passes by? Jesus passed by. Oh, what a difference in my life since Jesus passed by. And again, here is a picture of man's depravity and God's love. Man's depraved and God comes by. It's Jesus who saves. We are spiritually impotent until he gives us life. I believe that man is dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, I believe that's graveyard dead.
Right.
Uh-huh. And he has to breathe life. He has to bring life into your soul. I believe that with all of my heart. Verse number 5, John chapter 5, verse number 5, where it says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. 38 years. Now, anytime I see a specific number given in a Bible, in the Bible, I want to know why it's there. So I got to looking at this, and it led me back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 2, and verse 14, now listen what it says. And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years. You know what? We're not saved by works. We're not saved by baptism. We're not saved by the Lord's Supper. And we're not saved by the law. They got the law and they wandered in the wilderness for 38 years. The law didn't save them. The law cannot save me. The law cannot save you. The law could not help Israel to be saved. The only way it could help them and help us is that it is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You know what the law does to me? It makes me guilty. It makes me feel guilty. I'm driving down the road and I'm in that red transit. Beverly said it looked like a hearse. Never seen a red hearse, but anyway, driving down the road and blue lights come on. Do you know what I do automatically? Number one, I look at the speedometer. I hit the brake. And I am relieved when he passes me by. You know what I'm saying, don't you? But the law makes you guilty. So here's this fella, 38 years. It's a picture that the law cannot save. The law cannot save. And the Bible teaches that very plainly in many different places in the Scripture. Because we all know that we're in need of God's help in this area. Now the Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 19, now we know that whatsoever, and we know that things soever, what things soever, the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Sounds like what I was talking about, amen? Guilty before God. Now, let's get over here in John chapter 5 and verse number 6. And verses 6 through 9, we see the miracle of the healing of the impotent man. Now, verse number 6 says, when Jesus saw him lie, he laying there in one of the porches, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? He knew he'd been there a long time. Will you be made whole? Now, what's his answer? Well, let's look at this verse first, then we'll get over to the answer to this. Jesus comes to this fellow. Now, of all of the people lying there, he went to this one. He went to this one. He came to that one in particular. Look at verse 21 of chapter 5. If you got your Bibles open at John chapter 5, look at verse 21. John 5:21 says this, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. That falls in line with what's being taught. He said, okay, this one right here.
Amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad he came by your way?
Amen.
I mean, you were out there in misery and sin, and Jesus passed by. He passed by. And Jesus asked him, wilt thou be made whole? Now what this did, it impressed upon this man his inability.
Amen.
And that's what you ought to see today, dear lost person. You're unable to save yourself. To be saved, we must see ourselves as hopeless and helpless and in need of a Savior. Arthur W. Pink said, the one who promises himself that he will amend his ways and turn over a new leaf has not learned that he is without strength. There are a lot of folks that say, I'm going to get better, I'm going to do better. Better won't save you. Jesus saves.
Amen.
And him alone. You must trust him. Look to Jesus. Now, verse number 7, John chapter 5, says, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. Doesn't that sound like a lot of folks in the world? He didn't ask the fellow if he needed a man. He asked the fellow if he'd be helped. I have no man. Instead of saying, yes, Lord, make me whole, I have no man. He's looking to man and not to God. A lot of folks are looking to the church and not to God. We need to look to the Lord. We need to fix our eyes upon Jesus, not upon man. Verse number 8, Jesus saith unto him, well, better get verse number 7 and 8 there, wilt thou be made whole? And verse number 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. He saw his situation, but he didn't understand he needed Jesus. Now we come down to verse number 8. In verse 8, Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Now, the word rise there calls for faith. Faith. Faith in the Savior. Faith on the part of the impotent man. That's what you need this morning, is faith in the Lord Jesus. For there's no other way. Faith. Confidence in the Word of God. Do you believe what the Bible says this morning? I believe this old black back book.
Amen.
And if yours has got a red back and it's King James Bible, I believe your red back book. But I've got a black back one, and I believe what it says. I believe that it says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Rise, calling for faith, and then take up thy bed. No thought of failure. No thought of looking back. Rise, take up thy bed. Get your pallet. Get that cotton pallet, roll it up, and take it home. No thought of failure. Not because of man, but because we serve a God who cannot fail. Speaks of security. And walk. He was unable to walk to get into the water when it was troubled. But now that Jesus has spoken, he can walk. Dear friend, the sinner who could not live for God can do so whenever he has been spoken to by the Savior and believes what the Savior says.
Amen.
I struggled in my early life because I wanted to do right and couldn't. And then sometimes I didn't want to do right either. Amen. But something happened one Wednesday night at the East Howard Baptist Church in Biloxi, Mississippi. I had heard the gospel, but I'd never heard the gospel. And that night I heard the gospel and believed on the Lord Jesus. And here's what happened. I got a new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's what happened. Now, in verse number 9, if you're with me, in John 5, the gospel according to John, chapter 5 and verse 9, and immediately the man was made whole. Oh, wait a minute. Well, I hope I make it to heaven because we can't know. Wait a minute. Immediately the man was made whole. That night, when I was saved, immediately I was seen as justified in the sight of God because I was. I was made whole in the sight of God. What a blessing. What a blessing. Immediately. And it wasn't as some are teaching now that you got this progressive salvation. You get awakened and then it may take you 5 or 6 years to get saved. And there are those preaching this. No, sir, brother, you get awakened, you can get your eyes open.
Amen.
Hey, you get a bucket of ice cold water thrown in your face, you go,
right.
Amen? Amen? Probably what I needed this morning. I woke up, I did. I got up, man. But anyway, a lot of folks are saying, well, it's just, no, immediately. Hey, listen, here it is. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed, no thought of failure, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Made some folk hot, but we won't get into that. Now, what Jesus did, he did completely. Now listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 14. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 14, here's what it says. I know, I like that. Whenever I see that in the Bible, I want to read it. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it, and God doeth it that men shall fear before him. Amen. I tell you what, whatever he does, it is forever. Now there's something we need to know. Jesus did not physically touch the impotent man. He did not touch him. And some of you are waiting for some kind of special enlightenment or some special touch from heaven. What you need to do is believe the word. Amen. What Jesus did, he spoke to the man. And the man, by faith, took up his bed and walked. John 20, verse 31, but these things are written. What things? The things in this book. And we've just been in chapter 5, amen? But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's good, isn't it? That is good.